Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Here at Guitar Nerds, we're massive fans of Stringjoy guitar strings, and you should be too. Stringjoy, if you don't know, are the world's first true string custom shop, but they also do a whole bunch of standard sets made to the same super high custom shop quality. And one of my favourite things about just how lovely Scott and the team are is the Stringjoy reward system, a bit like a Tesco club card, but cool. Every set of strings you buy earns you points. Each pack is worth $1 in points, and you can save those dollars and put them towards anything in the Stringjoy merchandise store, which, when you have a bucket of guitars and you're always restringing them, makes for a whole bunch of points and thus free merch. It's just a little thing they've set up to say thank you, but I think it's testament to just what a super bunch of people they are and how deserving they are of your string business. Stringjoy strings are available at stringjoy.com and at 400 plus dealers across the globe. If your local store doesn't stock Stringjoy yet, ask them to. Matt.
Joe.
I've been getting fits of rage recently, getting really angry.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The other day I went into a theatre and I just started smashing my fists through the floorboards there.
Right.
But I was just going through a stage. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe.
Wow. There you go. Matt's got a sound board.
I've seen Oppenheimer now, and now everything in life is just that sound. It's just right. Like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
The Oppenheimer sound.
Have you seen it yet, Joe?
I have seen it. I went to the cinema to see it with my partner, Emma.
IMAX?
I didn't. I'm not into that. I only like vintage things. And
it's,
you know, like
Nolan and IMAX is like the ultimate vintage.
I'm sure. But there are some lovely vintage cinemas around here. I mean, you know, in Brighton they've got the Duke of York's, which I think is the oldest independent theatre in the United Kingdom. And in Worthing, they've got this gorgeous little theatre, which is the oldest theatre that's not an independent. But it's lovely. They have all, like, you know, you can buy a beer. They've got the old sort of wooden seats. It's everything's as it was. Tickets are still like £3.50 there. There's a nice bar. Everything's got that cool old feel to it. So I really like going to see stuff there. Obviously, there are limitations to what sound systems there can do, and they do their best with it. And it's very, very sort of locally run. But I do love it very much. But yes, what a good film Oppenheimer is. My favorite thing about the soundtrack actually was that they used that Geiger counter sound, you know, that clicking that we sort of naturally, like Hollywood, have made us associate with nuclear stuff, you know, radioactive stuff. Whenever you hear a Geiger counter, you know there's radioactive stuff. Yeah. I've no idea if anyone actually uses them in the real world. It's just one of those tropes, isn't it? It's become a thing.
I was hoping that maybe quickly I could find a Geiger counter sound on here, but the closest I've got is
that sounded like a jingle bell.
It's a sleigh bell. that's not close at all, but I thought it'd be funny to hit. But yeah, it's very good. I think the guy that did the soundtrack to that, and Tennant, who's also done a bunch of production. He did the production on the Childish Gambino album Awaken My Love, which is like his most commercial album, I guess, but also his like just the sound and stuff on that's awesome. He also did a couple of the other Childish Gambino songs, like This Is America, and like the production on that and the sound is just incredible. And there's some actually he's a really cool guitar player. There was a great interview with him where he used that. Was it Gibson made this really old multi-effects where it's like they're on like huge big switches.
Oh, right. Okay.
For like a fuzz sound. And yeah, he's actually a really, really cool producer. So it was quite cool to see him do both of those movies. But
absolutely,
just the overall sound design was just
incredible.
Absolutely.
I mean, Tenet, as a totally different type of film to Oppenheimer, I think has an incredible score to keep up that tension. And he used like single notes a lot, like repetitive sort of staccato single notes, to because that film has such a pace, like every bit of dialogue is almost rushed, every scene is trying to get to the end, everyone's always running, it has a real, you know, movement to it. And I think he emulated that perfectly with the sound design.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, go and watch it, people. But yeah, the guy that did it, I forget his name, but also a really cool producer and guitar player as well. So
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, dear listener, if you haven't guessed, the reason Matt's got a soundboard is because he's plugged into a Boss Gigcaster, because we're going to attempt a bit of a live demo on this week's podcast. Again, we're going to do other stuff. We're not going to, you know, necessarily start right away with that, but we are going to be doing a live demo as well as talking about some other a more traditional demo, the way I've been recording things in advance.
Demos, Joe. People Sorry? Are raving about your demos. I said your most excellent demos that people have been loving. Most
excellent demos, yes. Yeah, we did actually have a listener on the Facebook group sort of ask for more demos.
bit far.
No, it was. I felt quite bad for him because it sort of had this reaction of people being like, "Look, you don't mess with the way the podcast is done." And I was like, "Oh God, the guy just wanted to hear some guitars, everyone. It's okay." But this actually isn't because of that. You know, we just happened to wanted to demo some stuff that you've picked up, and I've been honestly, dear listener, the thing I'm going to be demoing again is Guitar Rig 7, Native Instruments Guitar Rig 7, because I am utterly convinced that is absolutely the, you know, that the one production tool that you need for everything. I didn't realize, but it's got all this stuff on there that's like great for like effects for drums and for keyboards as well. So even though it's Guitar Rig 7, it's got a whole bunch of other stuff, so you can produce an entire track with it. And I will talk about the bass sounds on there are absolutely incredible, the presets, the layout. I basically got to spend more time working on it over the like, you know, messing around with Guitar Rig 7, checking out all the presets, and it's so good.
I always like the way it looked, because it's like one big like refrigerator rack, isn't it? And everything's its own little rack unit, and you know, they're not trying to make everything look like a pedal.
I know. I don't care like about that side of things. It's why I really like sort of the Helix layout and the Boss layout for that matter, where it just shows me an effects chain with just blocks. I don't need the fancy graphics of every single thing that I'm on there. Just, you know, seeing the effects chain.
It's funny, really, because I guess, you know, as we'll probably talk about today, in fact, I know we will because we've put it on the script, but, Tone Master Pro has come out, you know, more updates to Quad Cortex, obviously Guitar Rig 7, and there is this real high graphical interface to both software and hardware, but really the hardware is just a computer running this kind of stuff now, isn't it?
It's just UI, isn't it? It's just making something you know, something easy for people to interpret. And
I mean, ideally what you want to do is build the sounds and then just put them into something super simple that you can gig with in a way. Imagine if you could just download it and just be like, I'm just gonna do this. But then I guess people just put, you know, Quad Cortex in a rack and everything's just MIDI'd up and the way you play.
Exactly, that's it, isn't it? Yeah, you don't see Cortex is on the floor really at the big high end shows. They're in trays at the back of the stage.
Yeah,
doing all the hard work there.
Funny, I was talking to our friend Max, who works over at Neural, over at Guitar Summit.
What a gentleman!
What a man! An insanely talented man, because he also is one of the greatest photographers this world has ever known. The photos he takes are just unreal. Obviously, he's a great tour manager and he's done loads of stuff, but he also techs for the Architects, who are running Quad Cortex, and he was showing me their rig for their support slot on the Metallica Stadium tour.
That was amazing.
He was just like, it's ridiculous, because the stage basically sits in the middle of the stadium and everything is built into the side of the stage, like all of the tech rigs and everything just pulls out the side of the stage. And he was just like, you can't put anything on stage. It's basically a wireless pack running into Quad Cortex off stage, and then everything's just MIDI'd. It's amazing, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. But then again, you know, you still got what Joe Bonamassa I saw headlining the Albert Hall for the 15th time, and he's still running through 6 amps. So, you know, there's obviously a market for both, but certainly a growing market for software now.
Convenience. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's so. You want to, like, convenience is the aim of the game, right, with this stuff. That's what they're trying to do. They're saying, look, we're at a point in time where the sounds are good enough and we can offer more convenience, easier to get to gigs. But aside from the gigging side of it, just easier to use, more intuitive and straightforward than plugging a load of cables into a loud sounding amp. And like, and on the Guitar Rig 7, you know, you said you like how it appears in a rack. They have the rack in the middle of the screen, so that's, dear listener, where you can see the fascias of everything, the amps and the effects, and all the controls on there that you can control. On the right hand side, you see a handy signal path in much the same way as Boss or Line 6 would lay out a signal path. And on the left hand side, they have their search engine, which is very intuitive. So they have like a bunch of keywords all put into little categories at the top, and you can click on any of those and it can give you a list of presets. But it might have, you know, one of the categories might be sort of input, and it might say guitar, bass, keyboard. So I could select bass, and then one of them is genre. I could hit rock. And then it would give me a bunch of presets below that were suitable for that. But you can really dial down into it. I could say I want all of these, but then I could click across to components and say I want all these, but I want presets that use their version of a Sans amp, which I think is called a Trans amp. So I'd be like, I want to definitely be using that Sans amp model in there. Select that as well. And it would give me only presets that include that, which is very good. But I think that's what I've found that I really like about it. The presets are, you're not just scrolling through presets that have random names. They are all put into categories that means you can find presets appropriate to what you're looking for without scrolling through a bunch of stuff that you don't want to look for. And the presets are very good.
I love the way it looks. It's not too expensive. I remember using Guitar Rig like 1 or something like back in the day for 5 minutes. I definitely need to find something that, I mean, again, you know, when we get onto it, you know, looking at Tomaster Pro, looking at, you know, Quad Cortex, certainly been using, you know, GT Core a bit more on my demo board at home. You know, they all just sound really good. And, you know, just, I guess for me, as we said before, it's like play to monitors or play through all of the amps and cabs that I've also got sat next to me.
Yeah.
When recording, I'm sort of just going, oh, I don't need to bother. I think my other problem is I come up with loads of sounds and ideas using my pedal board. And you can't really create that same sound in Guitar Rig or whatever, but actually I should just get used to reamping it, I guess, and just
sending it into
a virtual amplifier.
I write most of the stuff. I write like the bass cleaning, and the guitar, I have like a little preset set that gives me a little bit of reverb and a little bit of gain. And then after I've written the parts in and recorded the track and it's all there, then I'll start scrolling through Guitar Rig being like, oh, I wonder, you know, if this part I've already recorded, so that the writing's done, I'll be like, oh, I'll add this module onto it and see what happens when I add a tape wobble to the end of this part. And so I can sort of, you hear it after the writing stage, which I guess is a bit of a double-edged sword, because I see what you're saying, like you're inspired by the sounds and I'm finding those sounds afterwards, you know. So
yeah I love some of the amp names that they've got in here as well. Some of them a little bit more obvious. Lead 800, Hot Plexi, Van 51. But I think my favorite is Ramfire.
Ramfire.
And that I didn't actually realize that is actually a signature amp that's in there based off the Rammstein guitarist Richard Z. Krusp. Iconic trademark sound. You've also got a jazz amp. I wonder what that is. Which is ridiculous, because calling it jazz amp, you don't necessarily use a jazz chorus. Who uses a jazz chorus for jazz?
Well,
I don't even know if that was his intended original customer base or not by calling it jazz chorus. But yeah. Well, since we're talking about it, Joe, do you want to jump?
Let's do this demo. Yeah. So I'll let you in on some info beforehand, or maybe we'll talk about it afterwards. We'll play it, and then I'll talk to you about the things that I used to create this sound. Let's do that. Here's the track.
That was one of my favorite demos you've done, Joe. I like that. It's very old school. It felt like almost bordering on sort of like, dare I say, like not surf, but you know, that kind of like rockabilly surfy.
Oh, I see. Fair enough.
Rockabilly surfy thing on that sort of lead line.
I've been listening to a lot of The Cure over the last few days.
Yeah, I hear a bit of that in there as well.
Yeah. So the things that made up that track, that bass tone, they have this thing called this new amp, something Rage. It's basically an SVT, and they have like just a preset, Rage Breakup it's called, and the preset has a nice like rack compressor set after it, so you don't even have to worry about that. And this, one of the biggest problems with bass plugins is they're normally standalone amplifiers, so you then use another plugin to compress it afterwards. And whilst that's totally fine, and what I've done, you know, for years, it's nice to have it all dealt with in one plugin, so you know that those two things are interacting with each other a bit more directly, which is really good. So bass tone wise, brilliant. I'm just playing, this track is all Jet guitars. So it's the Jet jazz bass. And a Jet Telecaster for the whole thing. And I thought they were great. And Guitar Rig sound. I mean, the pickups are a bit weak, honestly, on the Telecaster. I've been meaning to change them on the Jet Tele. But I thought Guitar Rig made them sound great. And then for the guitar parts, whilst the two guitar lines had different amplifiers, different effects, I think both, one I was using their Fender Deluxe, one I was using their AC-15. But what I really liked that I was using was their tape wobble rack unit that I was putting after everything. And then it's got great controls on the tape wobble. You can add in how much warp there is. You can add in how much skip there is on the tape, how much scratchiness, on the tape. You can add in saturation. And you could really get like a great sort of, that I thought was a lovely amount of out of tuneness, you know, like a really gorgeous old school vibrato tone from it that's applied to the entire track. So I loved that. And they had another, they have another effect strip called Color, spelt American. And that's fantastic just for adding a bunch of saturation. And the color is like a, almost a preamp that you're running everything into. And it has a drop down where you can select different things, different emulations. And I had like a cassette preamp essentially that it was running into.
Yeah, that's got a very cool graphical interface on that. It's kind of like the old VHS colors.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
But just great, like it, things like that tape wobble and the color rack thing are the sort of plugins that I'd buy on their own. You know, I'd buy that plugin probably for the price that all of Guitar Rig costs.
I think that's the interesting thing, isn't it? I look at this and I go, I totally get. And I will include myself in this. It's like you look at things like the Tone Master Pro, you look at the Quad Cortex, you look at these, you know, you look at the Neural DSP plugins and you're like, the way they look graphically is kind of makes you want to plug them in and try them. And you actually go, that would be cool if it was a pedal on its own. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like there's sounds in here that I don't think there's many companies really making individual pedals that kind of go down this digital route. I guess the closest is the Poly Bebo is kind of similar to that. It doesn't have the same sort of graphics, but a kind of idea. But I'd love to see like almost a color screen that you could drag and drop these into. And then you would like, imagine if like modular, like everything was open source, people could program their own plugins and like the way they look, and you could just drag and drop them into a pedal.
Isn't there that French company that do that, that have an open source thing?
I guess, is it Mod Duo?
Mod Duo, yeah.
Mod Duo is kind of similar to that, I guess.
Because that's open source. I know that JD is a big fan of Mod Duo. I think he has a couple of their bits.
The only thing with the Mod Duo is you don't have the graphical interface on the unit itself.
No,
you do have it on the computer.
That's right. Yeah.
It would be cool though if you could actually see it on the floorboard. But then again, if you're editing it on the computer, do you need it? I don't know. I just love the way that I think some of these look. They're just really impressive. I just think it just makes you want to dive in and explore some sounds, basically, doesn't it?
iZotope by Native Instruments have been at the heart of great production tools and performance plugins for a long, long time now. They've helped guitar nerds to sound crisp and polished no matter how bad Matt's mic technique is for almost a decade, and they can and should be a part of your home recording setup too. iZotope have just released Ozone 11, the most advanced mastering software you can possibly get your hands on. Ozone 11 includes AI-assisted software that can listen to your mixes and make suggestions on a final mix. Honestly, it's been years since I've so much as touched an EQ fader. I just let Ozone do the work, and I have a pro quality mastered podcast in minutes. Ozone Elements is as little as $49, and don't forget you get 10% off all iZotope and Native Instruments plugins with discount code NERDS10.
Yeah, absolutely. The digital world is cool and a lot of fun. You know, it's never going to be as fun as the real thing, but
well,
it's
I think
a lot of fun.
If you're into making noise in a room with friends and you're all playing instruments, I don't know. I don't know if that. I would much rather have a big amp and, you know, a bunch of pedals and make some noise. But if I'm sort of sat with someone and producing or writing on my own, then actually, you know, getting into this digital world is, you know, I mean, you just wouldn't be able to tell, and we've said it plenty of times before, but you wouldn't really be able to tell that what you put there wasn't a produced track that you'd recorded in a studio and mic'd up a bunch of amps. Yeah. Isn't that, I don't think there's any way to personally, realistically tell. No. You know, when I was talking to, went to see Rabir a few weeks ago, and he was saying, you know, and we were, it's out now, he did a demo on the DM-101, and, you know, we were plugged into a pedal board with that and a DS-1W into two Krakens, and it just sounded like amazing. And he was just like, I totally gig with that. Like when, you know, his new band comes out, he's like, I want to gig with real amps. But it's like when there's three of us and a drummer in a room, we can all be on Quad Cortex. We can write on Quad Cortex. We can edit the sounds afterwards. We can produce the whole, you know, demo that way. We can all rehearse on in-ear monitors. But then when we go to the studio, we're going to record everything on real amps.
Right. Right.
You know, so I think it's, you're right. It's a convenience thing, just like Uber Eats or Deliveroo or anything. It's all about convenience. That is, you know, I can't remember who it was. I think it was the CEO of Uber many years ago said the biggest companies in the world basically have sprung up because they are buying back people. They are buying people's time. That is the most precious, that is the most valuable commodity, is time. And if you can create something that saves people time, then you're onto a winner. And I think that's the thing with things like Quad Cortex and Neural DSP and this. You're right. It's convenience. It's time. It's great. I can drag a Soldano amp and stick a distortion pedal in front of it and run it through some reverb. And if I don't like it, I can quickly change the sound.
Yeah,
it's like amazing, really.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's stay on the digital front because we do want to talk about the Tone Master Pro. But just before we do, Matt, I wanted to ask your advice on something. Oh, so
that's what I'd say.
So I'm going on tour in 3 weeks, and I'm all ready to go. Got my rig ready to go, but I messaged you about this the other day. I've lost a second knob off of my MS3 from years of rugged use. The top of one of the knobs of my MS3 still works because, you know, it's a Boss product. I can throw it against a wall and it would still work. But it got me thinking, like being like, oh, should I switch on to something else? And I was thinking, I've got the GT1000 Core here. The reason I have never moved the GT1000 Core onto my pedal board is simply that there aren't enough buttons on it, and the GT Core does the same thing that HX Stomp did, HX Stomp XL, and Neural DSP does as well. The buttons are too close together to actually use if you're running around a stage. You're definitely going to knock a second button. Whereas like MS3 and like ESA, that's the proper width. The Helix as well, that's the proper width, the proper amount of space. But in as everyone tries to get smaller, things get closer together. No good. But I was thinking, why don't I just get a MIDI switcher and then use that with the Core, and then I've got like all the stuff from the Core from a MIDI switcher.
So you wouldn't actually, you could program, MIDI is a joy. And when you can work out, when you know what you're doing and you can do it quickly, MIDI is awesome because it allows you to do so many things that you can't do normally.
Right.
That's what I love about MIDI. I think the only issue you might come up against is what MIDI pedal would you want if you still want to fit it on a board? Because I would say that you could, but again, it comes down to a foot switch thing.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, what MIDI switcher? I wanted one that's like thin, like, you know, like the Quartermaster thing.
Yeah. So what you
that's want, just a that's just a pedal switcher.
Yeah, because what you wouldn't want, although actually I think they're awesome and the new one looks amazing, is the Morningstar MC6 Pro, which is their new six-buttoned one with a color screen, so you can name all your presets so you know what you're... Because that's the only thing, is that most MIDI controllers will just be like a series of buttons. They won't necessarily have a screen on or anything like that. I mean, one of the great MIDI controllers that's not really talked about as a MIDI controller but would work would be something like an ES8 or an ES5, because you've got loads of MIDI control on it. You never have to actually have any of the pedals in the loop, and the buttons are spaced out, so you can obviously use it as a switcher.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Because a lot of MIDI controllers tend to be, more, certainly now, more compact than...
Yeah, but that's okay. Compact is good, right? I want like a thin strip.
Yeah.
I was thinking of like disaster area MIDI controllers.
Yeah, and I've used those and they are very good. In fact, actually, I'll tell you what would work that's not a lot of money. I'm just looking at it now. I've just Googled it, which would probably be ideal because I think it's just MIDI out. Not too much money, just 5 buttons. I've not used one, but Tech 21 actually make a MIDI foot controller, which is just like a strip with 5 buttons on it called the Mongoose. Oh. And also Blackstar make a foot switch called the Live Logic, which was their 6 button MIDI foot controller, which is also £149.
Wow.
And I think you could probably just use that. Yeah. Because I think the idea was that you could use that and then use it with a... because if you did something like that, actually, because it's got USB out, you could then use it as a foot controller for, like, guitar rig.
Oh, that's actually great. That's very useful. That's the Blackstar one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How about that? And that is very cheap.
It depends how many buttons you want, really. But I would say...
Well, what do you think of this? I was looking at the Disaster Areas DMC-8.
I think I've owned one of those.
It's a MIDI controller. It's got 4 buttons. It's got the A, B, C, D, 4 buttons. And then you've got 2 banking buttons, a favorite button, and a tap tempo on there.
I love Disaster Design stuff. They're really, really well built. They make some really cool stuff. I've actually got their MIDI Baby, which is a 1-button foot MIDI foot controller that basically can send up to like 6 different MIDI messages.
Right.
The only thing I would say again is that you've got top and bottom rows. If you're running around and you're just stepping on stuff, and not really thinking about where your foot's going, the top and the bottom button are a little bit close together.
Yeah.
It's also, once you import it, it's like double the money.
Oh, right. Well, fortunately, I have found some secondhand eBay ones for like £150, £160.
Oh, well then, I'd just buy one of them.
Yeah? You think that's the
option? I've used one and they are really good. And certainly the advantage, I think probably all of them do it now anyway, but I think the guy's name is Matt from Disaster Areas. He has built a web-based editor. So you basically plug it in via USB and then you open up an editor in like Chrome.
Wow.
And then you can just program what MIDI messages you want the buttons to send out and stuff like that.
That is extremely handy. Yeah, well, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to expand myself.
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly used MIDI controllers with GT Core, and it and it works really, really well. I can see the one you're seeing on eBay, Joe, and I'm going to buy it, and then I'm going to relist it. I'd buy that. That's a winner, and they are very small. They're very compact. I love the Disaster Area stuff. I've used it before. There's not much on there secondhand, but that is, I would say that's a bargain. I'd order it tonight, Joe, and then let me know how you get on, and then we can program it together.
Okay, that sounds great.
The only other one that I've seen, which I don't actually know, I think works as a standard MIDI controller. It definitely does, which I really like, which is definitely not as small as others. But Singular Sound, our favourite friend who makes the Beat Buddy.
Yeah.
That company actually also make a MIDI Maestro.
It does look good, that one, doesn't
buttons, it? Six big buttons with six screens on it. So you can actually like name it and be like, so you know what things you're actually, because that's the only thing
that's really good.
Stuff like that. You won't know unless you remember what you're actually stepping on.
I have to put physical labels on them.
Yes.
The Morningstar stuff does though, doesn't it? You get screens on Morningstar.
MC6 Pro has now got, color touch color screen. So you can label everything, which is very, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Of course, if you just had an up and down button, obviously the presets would change on the GT core, and then at least you would know. But yeah, if you were saying want a specific one for vibrato or something, you'd probably just label it. But yeah, it's worth exploring a few options. But a MIDI controller would certainly be a decent option for what you need.
Yeah,
that allows you to do everything in one button press, basically.
Although, of course, if I was to do something like a Boss ES5, for example, that would allow me to MIDI control the core, get the most out of all of those inbuilt effects, but also to plug in a couple of additional pedals if I wanted.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is sort of the best of both worlds. But we'll see. We'll see.
It is. But, I would, if it was me, I think the amount of MIDI control you get on something like the ES8 or ES5, I still think it has the best MIDI control on the market in terms of what you can do, because it's got the assign function, so you can assign a whole bunch of stuff to do crazy stuff if you want it to. Then gives you the ability of loops as well. Disaster Areas do something similar, which I think is called... Oh, I can't remember, but they make a MIDI switcher that's also then got loops in it as well.
Right.
So there's a few options out there, but Disaster Area, they've been doing it for a long time and they are very good at doing it.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, well, watch this space. I'll let you know where I land on this.
When are you watching? How long have you got before you go on tour?
I'm going away on the 1st. I'm going away the 1st. I've got 2 weeks from the 1st in France and Spain.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. It's a whole lot of cheese.
Yeah, no, tell me about it. Oh, well.
Let's know how you get on. I'd be interested to know what you end up with.
Yeah, okay, will do. Now, let's, before we will move on to talking about your stuff, Matt, and the demo that we're going to do today with your stuff. But let's, as we're on the subject, let's finish up our digitalness by talking about the new Fender Tone Master Pro, which was leaked. And then Fender announced it.
Terrible. Also working for a company in this industry, leaks are just annoying because you put so much effort into
it. What is the gain of getting the information a couple of weeks early?
It's not even, and sometimes it's just people pressing the go live button or not realizing or whatever. But yes, I always feel bad when stuff's leaked because I know how much work goes into getting a product ready and then to have it leaked is just infuriating. So
yeah.
feel for those people.
Yes, exactly. But it is very exciting. Definitely the most exciting piece of news, I guess. Oh, certainly the most chatter I've seen online, maybe all year, or certainly as long as I can remember it. See, it feels like a while since a big, like, seismic, oh my goodness, what is this sort of launch?
Well, everyone's getting a slice of the pie.
Yes, yes, exactly. Fender, late to the party, but they are joining the party. Not a party anyone expected them to join, but they have joined it. It's digital modeling they have. Dear listener, if you've not seen, we're talking about the Fender Tone Master Pro. It is their Helix, their neural DSP, their offering for a multi-effects and amp modeling foot controller. They've gone for a similar kind of vibe to Neural DSP in that they haven't used an expression pedal like you get on the GT1000 or the Helix. They've gone for a big, big touch screen. Controls are designed to be simple and intuitive, so the touch screen has full color graphics with full detailed color graphics of all the amps and effects exactly as they look in real life, and you can tap them to get close-ups on like the head of the amplifier, and then you can move your use, you know, exactly as you would a mouse or you would on a tablet. You can use the rotary controls in that fashion on there. Also, like other intuitive things, all of the foot switches are also rotary controllers, so you can select a control maybe on the amplifier and then use the rotary switch on a pedal to change that setting, which is quite cool. So they're giving you physical buttons as well as virtual buttons if you prefer. And it's then they've gone
I was going to say, it's funny on that, because obviously a lot of people tout that as a feature, which it is, and it's a cool feature, and obviously, you know, Neural's DSP, but let me remind you of a little product called the TC Electronic G System that we sold about 10 or 12 years ago that also had exactly the same thing. So
did it?
yeah, it's nothing new. I think it's very cool to have those rotary controls that are also switches. And if I'm right, Joe, because you've seen one, I've yet seen one. They're kind of like not smooth either, right? They're like grip.
Yes, they're sort of, they've got like I've no idea how else to describe it. They've got like a grip to them round the side. Mm. So they're very clearly, obviously, a little knob for you to touch. They've gone for the large knobs on the top where you deal with presets and sort of your main things. Kind of similar to how they did that on the Mustangs, on the Mustang GTs. How that sort of large knob allows you to scroll through different modeling things. Yeah, so I got to see this months ago, dear listener. I don't know if you remember, but I went up to the, you know, the secret Fender base in London, and Jay Cross gave me a lengthy demo on this. And one thing that does speak volumes about the Tone Master Pro is Jay Cross could use it. So it must be simple and intuitive, because he is not a man to use an amp modeler. And his demo was long and intuitive. And Matt, I told you, I still haven't told Jay, but I think he thought I wasn't enjoying his demo very much. He sort of kept being like, are you all right, Joe? Am I boring you? Sort of thing halfway through. And it wasn't that. It was that I'd been from Mexican with the Fender marketing department just before, and it had gone right through me. And I was, I was holding on for dear life, praying that the demo was going to end so I could run to the toilet.
It was close.
Since 2010, Music Nomad Equipment Care has been making premium and innovative guitar care products used and trusted every day by top guitar repair shops, guitar makers, and touring techs in over 50 countries. Pro quality but affordable, Music Nomad is also the go-to for countless guitar players around the globe to help their guitars look, sound, and play their best. After 2 years of research and development, and in collaboration with top guitar repair shops, Music Nomad developed in 2021, the Keep It Simple Setup, aka KISS. And now thousands of guitar players, from beginners to pros, have learned how to set up their own guitar. They demystified the guitar setup process by developing innovative precision gauges and tools, combined with step-by-step general guidelines anyone can follow and set up their guitar to play and sound great.
With their KISS method and their gauges, you can check the vital areas of your guitar and use their toolkits to perform your own setups. They have a 24-page instructional booklet available in 7 languages, downloadable for free, and many how-to videos, both by setup tasks as well as many complete setup video tutorials for popular brands such as Fender, Gibson, Taylor, PRS, and more. Not only is it fun, but a properly set up guitar takes your playing and sound to a whole new level. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com. Their website has a very cool setup hub section where you can find everything you need to know so you can start setting up your guitar properly. Follow them on social media at musicnomadcare. Kiss your guitar with Music Nomad's Keep It Simple setup.
But yeah, I think this looks cool. I think the things that stand out for me, I would really like to try one. I really want to try a quad cortex properly. Obviously, we've tried the plugins. Obviously, well-versed in the Boss stuff, and I love the Boss stuff. And yes, while GT1000 doesn't have a kind of interface like this, obviously, we've got GX100, which isn't our flagship, but has the kind of more color display. But again, not this sort of more graphical UI.
Stuck into the UI. Well,
I think a lot of people have, and I think it's what we were talking about with Guitar Rig. I think it is very attractive. I think it does draw you to the unit, absolutely. I think that's the norm for a lot of things now. Yeah. I love the scribble scripts that have got like the helix on that allow you to, they match the features. Not sure about the kind of massive knobs on the top. Is it plastic or is it metal, Joe?
It's plastic.
Plastic, yeah. Top and bottom, is it? Top and bottom. Or is it metal bottom? And
it might be a metal on the underside, but certainly right. The rounded lower chassis is plastic.
Oh yeah, it's plastic, yeah.
Not a positive considering the price tag, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think a few people were kind of, I guess, Fender loyalists were a bit like, what is this? This isn't a Strat. whereas a lot of people were like, oh, this is cool. And again, I think it's about being in the conversation. It's about having a product there. It's about developing it. They've certainly been able to look at all the competition. I mean, a couple of real wins for me. The fact that you've got an XLR, a combi jack input for microphone, so XLR or line input.
Yep.
Instrument input. I'm guessing you can run those independently as well, so you can have individual effects on each.
Same as Helix, though.
Which is cool, because obviously it allows you to sing and play guitar and have certain effects on your vocals as well if you're going straight into a PA.
Yeah.
4 effects loops. Is that the most of any unit out there? I don't know.
I think so, because I'm pretty sure Helix has 2. So right.
I'm guessing you've got 4, or you can run 1 in stereo, 2 mono, and 1 in stereo by the looks of it. 2 sets of stereo outputs, including 1 set of outputs having XLRs, which again is very good. Auxiliary input, phones out, 2 expression pedals, toe switch, amplifier control, so you can change channels on your amp. USB-C, obviously, I'm guessing for editing, and then micro SD. I don't know if that's just for loading tones. Or
no, they don't know yet. Jay said they haven't announced what that's for yet. Right, okay. Even he doesn't know what that's for yet, but it is there. So I assume it's going to be maybe some sort of update.
I don't miss the expression pedal. I think they've also got the Mission Engineering have done a specific one now.
Yeah.
But I just think, if you're going to run, I have a volume pedal for my board, I run off the board and to the side. So, I think if you get a good hardwearing one, it doesn't bother me.
No, yeah, that's true. I like it not being there. Honestly, if Helix did one without one, I'd go back to Helix. I'd love them to do that. But and don't say the HX-XL, dear listener, because the buttons are so close together, there's no way a foot would not just hit all of them at once. It's another bedroom tool. But this is very cool. The cool thing about them releasing this, a cool thing is that they released this alongside 2 cabs, a 10 and a 12 inch powered cab.
Yeah,
in the Luxor Fender, which is really cool. That's kind of the nice thing. They're nice looking power cabs. Like, I might buy a powered cab just for, something else, for a Helix,
Yeah. I think it's certainly battle of the I mean, remember when GT100 was like the best multi-effects you could buy and it was like 400 quid? And now you just look at it and you just go, it is the battle of the top end multi-effects. I thought in an absolute genius move, Neural DSP officially announced the lowering their MRSP globally, which I was just like, they obviously knew something was coming. As soon as that, they were just like, send, email, send. So now they're actually cheaper.
Yeah.
So Tone Master Pro is coming out at, in the UK at the moment, at 1649 on their website.
1649, that's right.
I'm guessing probably some dealers are doing 1499, I think.
Wow. 1499 on a quad cortex.
No, 1499 on Tone Master Pro.
Oh, on Tone Master. Wow,
quad cortex is the same price. I think, 1499. Quad Cortex was 1649. They officially announced a lower price due to their cost of parts and stuff going down.
Wow.
So that happened within, I think, 24 hours of the announcement.
You saw the screenshot that I shared with you and Jay. I had like my phone pinged with Jay cross messaging saying, "Phew, the Tone Master Pro is finally out." And the next notification on my phone was an email from Neural DSP being like, "We're reducing the price of the Quad Cortex."
RRP on Tone Master Pro 1649, but it looks like most, which is what it is on the Fender website, but most retailers in the UK, that is, at 1499. So the same price as Neural DSP, which is kind of like the new standard.
Right.
I guess I'm sure everyone doesn't need us to run through the specs on the Tone Master, because I'm sure they're already well
everywhere. But no bass stuff.
But I was more like 6,000 Fender captured impulse responses. I mean, that is absolutely mad. Plus, you can load in your own, which is what everyone's going to do anyway.
I think it's
cool. I mean, they've been able to take everything that everyone else has done and kind of do their own thing on it. They've got the heritage of all the Fender stuff.
I think it's got some teething issues. I think it needs, you know, like no bass stuff is a thing. That is a problem. And I think it's tricky when, like, Fender is saying, well, our thing is the UI. Because before, lots of brands are saying, well, ours has a higher processing power. So technically, you know, at a mathematical level, our sounds are higher quality. That was the argument before. It was, you know, these sounds are better than those sounds because they're, you know, they're a higher quality of sound. Whereas Fender are just going, oh, UI is great, but they didn't include bass stuff. It has a lot less than Neural DSP as far as amount of amplifier options and effects options are, and it is the same price. And Neural DSP has a lot less than Helix, so we've got that. You know, there's. It's the bare bones right now, but then I guess if you think about it, Helix has years. I've no idea when Helix came out now. It must be getting on for a decade old, but it's been around a long time, and they've had a long time to iron out things, release updates, extra features. Like, the fact that you can use the Helix as a synthesizer is incredible. You know, they're always thinking of how to reinvent the software that they've got on the Helix, always thinking of new effects to add. It's very good, but they've had years to do it. This feels like you're not getting a lot for the most expensive price tag on there. But the caveat is, you know, well, the flip of that is this UI is excellent. It's probably the easiest to use of any of them. And, you know, Fender are certainly a high quality company. And you know.
I think, Line 6, Helix, here you go. Press release from Premier Guitar. June the 11th, 2015. So not as old as you think.
Wow.
Scribble scripts, color LED rings around each switch. Touch sensitive switches. They're not rotary, I don't think, on the Helix.
No, but the touch is very handy.
but the touch is very handy. Obviously, not as graphical interface in terms of pictures of things, but still does a lot, as you say, Joe, a lot compared to a lot of other things on there. The biggest downside to most people is that it is massive.
Yeah. But then you have HX Stomp, which, like, show me a pedalboard these days that doesn't have an HX Stomp on it. You've got HX Stomp XL if you want a little bit more. That's doing a more MS3 style thing. HX FX as well, which is my bet, because I wouldn't want any of the amp sims. But, you know, you've got access to all those great effects.
Helix is now retailing at $1,199.
Right.
Still $1,199. It's held at that price. That is amazing. $1,199. Yeah. So you basically, in that sort of, I think it's just Fender putting their thing out there, and they're not expecting everything to happen at once, and more things, I think, will be gradually added over time.
Yeah.
I think what Quad Cortex has over many is its star power, as it were.
Its roster, its artist roster, is very impressive.
It's, you know, it's got a lot. I think the thing is,
like, do they have anyone who's not a shredder or a YouTuber?
Corey Wong.
He's a YouTuber. A shredder or a YouTuber?
He didn't start as a YouTuber. I get what you mean, but I think that's part of their marketing. I think that's you know, build what it is for me, it's about building their ecosystem. It's why people have an iPhone and an iPad and a Mac.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like you use one and then you love the interface and you use the other thing and you're bought into the brand.
Yeah.
And that's obviously the big thing that Fender also have. But I think the thing is, it's going to take more time with Fender because they've got a lot of history of, you know, the classics. And that's just going to take time. But they've been doing a fantastic job marketing to much younger people and bringing more people in. But yeah, there's so much like high-end stuff out there now. Fractal FM9, again, it's got the same thing. It's got the scribble scripts on it. You know, it's got that color screen. I was actually just looking, but the size of the screen on the Quad Cortex and the Tonemaster Pro is the same. it wouldn't actually
not
surprise
deliberate
me
at all, Fender.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was just that's where they buy the part from.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can go out and buy, you know, a color screen, touch screen that runs on, you know, an Android-based platform from a supplier. So it wouldn't surprise me if it was the same supplier. I mean, neither of them are going to be making their own ones of those in a factory. At least I wouldn't have thought anyway. But I think it's cool. I think it's a cool entry. I've watched some demo videos. It sounds good. The thing is, they all sound good. So I think the deciding factors for you are brand, potentially, and UI, graphical interface.
Yeah.
I think if you're probably already using Neural DSP, you're probably going to go for Quad Cortex.
Mm-hmm.
If you are kind of new into this thing and you're going to dive in for the first time, you're probably going to go for Fender because you know the Fender brand name.
I'd probably go for Helix because it's the most cost effective at the moment.
The thing is, I think part of the thing is, like you say, is Helix a decade old? I'm sure it still sells, but it's also, they haven't really talked about it a lot. They've done updates, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, it's like granddad over here, you know, Helix, granddad Helix, you know, it's launched 7 years ago. It's like, mate, we've had other things since then, you know? So I just think it's, I don't know.
Mate, it's getting to that point where it's the old proggers who are turning up with the Helix.
Absolutely.
The young kids have all got their newer DSP.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't even see them on stage because people aren't playing them on stage necessarily. But yeah, I don't know. Cool unit, a lot of cool stuff out there now, and we're just seeing less from amps and not less from pedals. There's definitely more pedals, but
there's a lot of companies now
getting that sort of that push. But then again, we've seen, you know, I was for work, I was looking at videos on various things when this came out, and obviously we're always talking about you know, how does this compare in specs, and you know, talking to our people that work in shops, being like, you know, this is a spec of ours. And the amount of views that our videos have had on ME90. And still, I think I was looking at, I think ME90 is the most watched video on Anderton's YouTube channel this year.
Wow.
It's just like, you know, it's like people just actually, some people maybe just go, you know what I want? I want a pedal board. I want a multi-effects where it just looks like lots of pedals.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, like, you know, talking about my tour, I've got an ME50B downstairs.
Oh,
and I bet that thing still sounds great. I know it's got the kick drum. Oh, yeah. What a great pedal. What a great pedal.
But the thing is, I saw a guy today. He was like, forget the Tone Master Pro. I found this and was demoing a Boss GS10, which was like the original
GS10.
It was like the original desktop modeler.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really old school. Really, really old school. USB desktop audio interface.
It looks incredible. I love it.
But then someone in our group chat at work posted a picture of, I think it was Blackstar, posted like an artist picture of like one of their heads and cabs being used at a gig. But what they didn't realize, that on top of the head plugged in was a Line 6 pod. It was like, people are still using pods.
Unbelievable.
People are still using pods. But then again, you know what? If you're into guitars, you're just going to buy the new stuff, aren't you? You're going to buy the stuff. You want to keep buying stuff.
Yeah.
And
maybe, do you think I should get a quad Cortex?
I'm definitely keen to try one. I'm definitely keen to try a Tone Master Pro. I'm kind of interested in how I can manipulate those things to be like my pedal board,
right,
rather than, because so quite often I'll go through the presets and be like, this is a 5150 and this is great, and it's like, I don't play like that. I can't play like that. What I want is a multi effects that I can set up in a way that I use like my pedal board. And I think that's the only thing that's missing from a lot of these. And why I'm keen to try is, like, you know, I might use a Chase Bliss Mood or a Microcosm, or, you know, I've got some other weird and wonderful effects, or, you know, I've got loads of crazy fuzzes. And they're the things that don't tend to be in those multi effects. Certainly things like granular delays and loopers.
That's
and
it. That's it. You're right. So many of these multi effects sell themselves on how good the delays and the reverbs are and the high gain drives. But when it comes to, well, what I want is like an edge of breakup, natural amp sounding overdrive, some vibrato and a ring mod. Those things don't tend to be the bread and butter of a multi effect. Whilst they'll be there, they're not the things that they're focusing on.
Yeah. So I guess then we should go from new school to old school, and we should just talk about some old school gear. Bring it back around before we finish, or should we do some demos in the Patreon?
I don't want to rush this demo. So I'm so sorry, dear listener, but this is now become a Patreon exclusive. If you want to hear Matt demoing properly, we're going to take over to Patreon, and we're going to spend the rest of this podcast talking about other things instead.
I was going to see if I could find a hilarious, let's just try this one.
Wow.
I was just, you know, thinking of some sort of hilarious soundbite that I could add in there. But yeah, I think let's do that, because we've also got to talk about the new competition that we're running. Do we want to close on that, Joe? I don't know where you want to.
Yes, we are teaming up with Vintage Guitars. We're actually going to be announcing this next week, but us and Vintage Guitars are teaming up to give away one of their new Pro Shop models. Their Pro Shop guitars are their custom shop guitars. They're super cool. We're going to co-build one with you, dear listener. Each week, we're going to be picking a new feature for you to vote on. We're going to have all the voting going on our Facebook group, on our Patreon, and, you know, I'll be letting people know on Instagram and YouTube and things like that, but I'll be taking your votes however you want to send them to me. You can like email us at info@guitarnerds.net. Anyway, get on to Vintage Guitars R Us. That's the
letter R, us.com. Or just, you know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? What a ridiculous URL. But look for Vintage Guitars on their Tinternet. Find their website. Check out all the models that they've got available. They've got loads of for sale stuff on their Pro Shop. But bear in mind, a Pro Shop guitar can be anything that's in the standard line of vintage guitars, because the first thing we're going to be deciding is what guitar. And then we'll do the nitty-gritty of pickups, fretboards, whatever, all of those other things, color. But first of all, we need to settle on the model. So, you know, start thinking about it. Next week, it'll officially open. You guys can message me and post telling us what shape. But start having a think. Start having a little look at that, because that is all to come. But
exciting times. I'm looking forward to it.
It will be.
I was going to say, it's possibly our most modern podcast to date, Joe. We've literally not talked about any old school gear. But yeah, I'm super keen. If any listeners, I know I'm not on the socials, but Joe certainly is. Has anyone bought a Towmaster Pro? Who's got a Quad Cortex? I want to know.
Someone did. Let me know through Joe,
and then we can talk about it on the podcast.
That would be good. Actually, Dan Pilver, friend of the podcast, Dan Pilver, he has bought from Lewitt Mikes. He has bought himself a Quad Cortex. Dan, let me know how it is for bass tones. Is it worth getting for bass tones? Come back to me. Tell me what's going on. We'll see what it comes back with. But Matt, just before we wrap up, this will be the last thing that we discuss. So the other day, I was talking to my girlfriend Emma and some friends. We were talking about, you know, guitars, synthesizers she'd have, and people started talking about, like, you know, it's a common subject that we talk about, Matt, the one that got away, the sale that you made that you shouldn't have. And Emma was like, well, you know, the one that you sold that you shouldn't have. And I'd completely forgotten about it until she mentioned it. It was my Hondo 2 Longhorn bass.
I don't know
what it is, Joe. So there's a link to it, Matt. The bass that got away, it's linked on our script for
click
on that. It is amazing. I have found one that actually could...
An onion. That is amazing. Dear listener, before Joe continues, if you've never seen one, before you Google Hondo 2 Longhorn Bass, picture an onion, and this will give you a very good idea of what you're about to look at.
Well, yes. So it is the Dan Electro Longhorn body shape, which is onion-esque. And the finish that they have, it's kind of a copper burst, but it is very oniony. The difference with the Hondo 2 is it's a 34-inch scale neck, and they've popped a precision-based pickup bang in the middle of the body and a big, substantial bridge. Proper tuners and a brass nut. So whilst it looks like a flimsy Dan Electro, it's actually a rugged, hard-wearing super bass made in Japan in the late 70s. And I found one that has a custom-cut case for it in like a brown leatherette, which is exactly what my one had.
Is it not just your one?
I think it might be. I mean, it's possible that this was the case for the bass, but I really didn't think this sort of bass came with a case. I thought this was a custom cut case that I had. This could be my one.
Well, there you go. Do you want to buy it, Joe? Do you need more stuff? Do you just want to buy me stuff instead? These are all the questions we need to answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over on the Patreon.
Yes, exactly. Well, yes, on that note, dear listener, check out the Hondo 2 Longhorn bass. It's one of the coolest things. In fact, the person that's selling the Hondo 2 bass on Reverb is also selling the guitar version of that. Single humbucker bang in the bridge. Onion guitar. So do check that out. We're heading over to Patreon, patreon.com/guitarnerds. Do join us there if you can. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, then check out the Patreon site. It gives you all the information on how you can sign up for as little as $1 a month. We're going there now. Thank you very much for listening. We've been the Guitar Nerds. You've been lovely. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much, you wonderful people. Thank you especially to our $10 top tier Patreon backers. Very soon, some of you will be receiving your
goodie bags. But for now, thank you very much to Nicholas Strom, Rocket Rob Patterson, Marcus Deluxe, Suresh, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Russ Meehan, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, John Conaway, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Dan Pilver, Brian Einsler, Dylan Griffiths, Mark Izal Kadawaki, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losef, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and Moog Gravit.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.